Yes, he does a good job, too.
President, members of council, I won't belabor the issue of going through each bill that I'm watching. I'm going to talk to you primarily about three bills that I'm concerned about and one bill that you asked me for an explanation on back on the 16th of June. The three bills that I'm watching most carefully are House Bill 70, House Bill 233, and Senate Bill 132. House Bill 70 is the windmill bill, which passed the House. It's over in the Senate, but I don't see it getting any attention in the Senate. It's not on the agenda for today. It's also not on their ready list. But I should warn you, the agendas and the ready lists will change hourly once they go into session, which they go into session in 6 minutes.
May I remind you that we did not have a consensus vote, that we were, I did like that bill.
Right, it was 4-1. I did have a
vote. Okay, so when you say we oppose it, it's
we
the majority.
Body. Right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, I say 4-1 is opposing.
Okay.
That's good enough for us, Al.
Right. House Bill 106, you asked me for an explanation because it was rather confusing in the way it read. It talked about different bodies changing their authority on allocating open space fund, the open space funds. I finally got an explanation from someone who works in DENREC in this, and I hope I can convey to you a better understanding as it was sent to me. What we're talking about, House Bill 106, is state grant funds that are established by the Conservation Trust Fund. These are state dollars that are set aside every year in the state budget to be used for open space purchases. This money is forwarded to local communities, perhaps such as ours, to buy land to be used for parks and to buy equipment and the development of parks. This year, the state has set aside $750,000 for such grants. In the past, these requests were made and considered by the Delaware Open Space Council, and they reviewed and recommended to the Secretary of DENREC who should get these grant funds. And then the Secretary has the ultimate decision of allocating the money, but generally they allocate the money as it comes to them in advice. It was done by the Open Space Council. Now that's going to be done by the Parks and Rec Council. These different councils in the state government have all agreed this would be a better way to allocate this grant fund. So the purpose for House Bill 106 is simply to realign the process so that all the groups agree that the right authority is reviewing this money. But it's about state grant money. They also pointed out to me that Sussex County has never requested any of this grant money, so it really doesn't affect us. But that's what House Bill 106 is about.
Why wouldn't we request it?
We just haven't in the past.
We don't have any parks at all.
Correct. If we were to buy a park, that would be money that would be available for us to request.
Well, no, how about the James Farm? Is that a park? Do we call that a park?
No, not a park.
We don't consider it a county park,
right,
although we do lease it to Center for the Inland Bays.
Right, right.
And they
it certainly preserves some sort of tiny little land, piece of land somewhere for the public.
That's another story. That's going out.
Senate Bill 132, I want to talk with you just a minute or two about that. Mm-hmm. This is the bill that would require all of our ordinances and subdivision plans basically to go through state planning, which in some regard that happens now as it goes through the PLUS plan. It would include ordinances which aren't required to be reviewed by state planning at this point. This bill is sponsored by Senator Bruce Ennis in the Senate, and it hasn't moved very far. There's been a lot of controversy about the bill. It's met a lot of opposition, and then on top of that, Senator Ennis was out sick for several days. So it came off the agenda and off the ready list for a while as I was watching. This morning, it's not on the Senate agenda, but it is on the Senate ready list. And as I said, that could change as the night goes on. So Senate Bill 132 may get considered in the Senate tonight, but I don't think it's one of their top priorities. But I will be there to speak about it and to it if it comes up.
I don't have any objection to working with the state on ordinances. Ordinances are pretty important.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the bill that I let me say one other thing. Any bill that is not dealt with by 5 o'clock tomorrow morning is still open to be dealt with next session. Mm-hmm. Our General Assemblies are 2-year periods. This is the first year of the 2-year session. So just because a bill doesn't get finalized tonight, it'll still be alive to be worked on again in January. Okay. Now, let me talk to you for a minute about the dog license bill, House Bill 233. this poor bill has been around and around and around, and it's been discussed and amended by several different people, and I want to try to give you what I've learned about it in the last few days. As you know, this bill will transfer the responsibility of dog licensing to you, as well as Kent and Newcastle counties, from the state. We've been funding this in the past, but now we'll have full responsibility for the dog licensing processes. There have been some amendments offered, and I asked just yesterday, I was finally able to get both sponsors of the amendments together and asked them, gentlemen, why the amendments? What are you afraid of? What scared you? And they told me that someone, they wouldn't identify who, someone told us that their county, and they said it wasn't Sussex, but their county was going to make this program break even because it's a loser. It costs money to operate, and the tax, the fees that come in for dog licenses don't fully fund the operation. So someone made these gentlemen fear that dog licenses were going to go up. And one representative said to me, if you divide out the numbers, it comes out to $103 per dog. And we were afraid that counties might consider raising the dog licenses fees really high. And I said, when was the last time you ever saw us raise something up really high and offer a fee or a license permit that was exorbitant? We just don't do business like that. I don't think you need to worry about that. So we were in this discussion about the cap that they had in their amendment. The ultimate bill that passed the House last night unanimously was this. It was the original bill that transfers the responsibility to the counties, and it does have a cap in it for license fees of $10 for neutered animals and $15 for unneutered animals, but those caps and restrictions expire in just 2 years. So we do have a cap, as it was passed in the House, we do have a cap of $10 and $15, but those caps will come off in 24 months, which will be January of 2012, so that you can then raise the rates or change the rates in any way you see fit. So I think that compromise lent itself to compromise. It seemed to me as though that would allow the responsibility to move forward to the counties, and the state would get the control they feel they need for a short period of time, but yet you would get your complete control in just 2 years. That's the way the bill passed. It's over in the Senate now, and I would imagine they will work that bill because that bill saves the state a lot of money. So the money bills are going to get priority tonight, and I would expect that one will probably get considered in the Senate. And if you support the bill the way it passed the House, I'll be sure to tell our senators that you support the bill in that fashion or in that draft.
Any questions for Mr. Godwin? Thank you, Hal.
That's 2.5 times the rate, isn't it, what it is now?
Currently, it's $3 and $6.
Yeah, so
the cap will be $10 and $15, and in 2 years, the cap goes away.
I don't have any objections to that.
Six is 12.
There's one other little verbiage in one of the amendments that talks about the dog collar. There's apparently been some interaction from hunters who have hunting dogs. They didn't want their dog to have to wear his collar while he's hunting for fear that he might get the collar caught in brush somewhere. They didn't want the dog to have to wear the collar when he's at home in his pen. So the First Amendment that did get adopted last night exempts the collar. In other words, the dog only has to wear his collar when he's outside of his pen, but not hunting. Apparently there was some disagreement from the hunters about that, so that amendment is included with the cap. But all that comes off in two years.
So I have no objection to it. Is he going to go along with that then? Is that what we're going to do?
Mr. Godwin, what is currently your position as directed by the council?
Currently the council has told me to object to any amendments, and that was the message I delivered to the legislature, that our first choice was not to have any cap at all. In the discussion, they asked me what I thought about the other bill, the amendment to come off in 2 years, and I shared with them that was certainly better than what we had.
Mm-hmm.
Does any council member have an objection to that directive?
I make a motion to go with it.
Okay.
Let me suggest that if there are no objections, it'll stand.
Okay.
Thank you. Is that all right, Mr. Wilson? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Mr. Lang?
See?
Could I? Mr. Phillips, could I?
We have an item on the agenda for a request to withdraw an application, which change of zone number 1639, the application of Todd Briglio. There was a letter addressed to Mr. Phillips on June 19th of 09 from Dennis Schrader on behalf of the applicant. The purpose of this presentation before council is the fact that we've already held a public hearing, and the policy has been that if it's been a public hearing held, that the council has to vote on accepting a withdrawal. The request is that they request that their application be withdrawn, that they may refile an application as a conditional use for general and professional offices, same location. And they also request that their application, if they do file a new application, be expedited. And that's pretty much it.
They have already been in the system for a year and
they applied originally for their B1 application on August 15th of 07. They had a public hearing with the commission on April 16th, with the council on May 27th of this year, and the commission recommended not denial on May 20th of this year. So what they're requesting is that you vote to allow them to withdraw.
I just want to add some of this. Here's another request to expedite something.
Well, they've been in the system for 2 years. Well,
I know that, but I'm getting complaints from people who have just made applications like they were supposed to, and they keep waiting and waiting and waiting, but they keep getting thrown backwards because we've expedited everything. We're expediting for affordable housing. We're expediting for this. Now we're expediting for people who know they're going to get turned down, and they're trying to come back in. So I don't mind allowing the application to be withdrawn, but I'm a little...
I wouldn't vote for the
worried
expediting.
Worried about keep expediting. Mm-mm. Everybody.
No.
So, mm-mm. I would say, I'll make a motion that we accept the withdrawal, and that's it. Let them refile.
I would second that.
I have a motion and a second to accept the request to withdraw, but denying the request to be placed at on the next available agenda for consideration. Is there any discussion?
What is the purpose of the withdrawal? I don't quite get it here.
Because he got shot down at PNZ, and his chances don't look good. So if they withdraw now, they don't have to wait a year. If they go in front of us and they get turned down, they got to wait a year before they make another application.
Unless they file for something different.
Something different, right?
If they file for something different, they can file tomorrow.
What they did is
they could file. It doesn't mean they're going to be hurt.
They come in with a change of zone, and during the process, oftentimes it's pointed out that maybe rather than a change of zone, a conditional use would be better to give planning and zoning and county council the ability to put stipulations on. They're attempting to comply with that impression, but they don't want to then have to go in the back of the line because they've waited almost 2 years now. They'd like to have the ability to make the changes that they've deemed appropriate based on comments from planning and zoning, for instance, and then have that considered in an expedited fashion.
In other words, you're trying to make some adjustments here to fit our what we want.
But because
they
applied as a change of zone, they can't do that. So they do want to modify the type of application so that they can allow those stipulations to be put in place and hopefully make it a better development.
But we've got people that have been waiting for...
What's wrong with that, George?
We've got
Sam,
other people.
We have people who come in, go downstairs, make an application, get in the system, and they have an expectation that they're going to go through a system in a certain amount of time. And all of a sudden, we start expediting. The state of Delaware gets expedited. Affordable, some of these other things get expedited. Mm-hmm. So the guy who's just making an application, following the rules, keeps getting pushed back and back because this guy... He took a chance on going for a home run, and all of a sudden, he got thrown a curveball, and he says, so he's trying to, again, come in and get back in the system early and put the guy who's there out there waiting. There's other people, a lot of people out there waiting to get their application heard, and we're expediting everybody. So I don't like it. I don't like expediting, and we've just gotten into trouble, and it's not fair to the guy who's trying to follow the rules.
Mr. Lang, how many... applications have been expedited by the council in the last 6 months?
In the last 6 months, not that many.
Thank you.
In the last 2 years, 30 or so.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But this council.
Oh, this council. Mm-hmm. I'd have to really think about that. This council.
Didn't that discovery over at Trap Pond, didn't that get expedited? Isn't that getting expedited?
Discovery, oh. There was
low income.
We've had a couple applications yeah. that would have been expedited that were already in. They may have already been to queue before this council came on.
Mike, I called up. Somebody called up. They had an application in there wondering what was going on, so I called Lawrence. And
it would be easy to check and to give you a number, but right off the top of my head, I'd have to.
What is your policy? What is your policy, Mr. Lank, for expediting an application?
I don't have a policy. It's up to council.
Okay.
I got
if an individual council member called you and said, expedite this application, what do you do?
Nothing.
Okay.
As an individual.
Who?
The full council and through the administrator, I would so expedite.
Okay. So either a public vote to expedite or the county administrator has the authority to expedite.
I don't have the authority to expedite.
Okay.
Typically,
so it sounds like Mr. Cole... Because we have not, as a body, expedited that
well,
many.
No, no,
it sounds
in
as
the
if
system, we had 30. Anyway, I'll just share a conversation. Lawrence, I called you the other day, asked you about so-and-so. And I'll not lead you. You tell me what you told me. It was X amount of months in case this happened or it was X amount of whatever. So tell me how you told me. And this is what I had to tell a guy.
Which individual? Which project?
Remember, what's his name? The one down there, West Rehoboth. Adonis Hall and that... Remember that one?
They have an application that was a lot within the West Rehoboth general
right.
vicinity. It is a small lot. It's right across the street, sort of from the commercial areas. It's a vacant lot. And when they apply, they get told what their, how much time it may take. And right now we're telling them 18, 20 months. Mm. Because that's what, because of the number of the application, that's number one in the pile, in the queue to get the next advertisement. Mm-hmm. That's basically how long it's been.
But now, at the same time.
Well, I have an application. The folks want to put
Wait,
a restaurant.
Let him finish, because
right.
I had to tell the guy that it could be longer if things more things get expedited.
Yeah, right, well, it could right? be. But what I'm saying is that I'm using that date that's the number one. But because of the expeditious action, as months progress, it's going to catch up because we're not getting the application. So it's not going to be 18 months after we get to a certain point.
I've got one that wants
okay,
to build
Eva,
a restaurant.
Go ahead. Please, Ms.
I've got somebody who called me wants to put a restaurant on the river in my district. Okay. He wants his project expedited. They're ready. They want to build
everybody,
now.
Everybody, when they come in, wants to be expedited.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, I mean, you know, I mean, what do you do?
Typically.
The only thing that, the biggest thing that have been expedited have been public utilities, schools, state mm-hmm. projects.
Emergencies. Clear emergencies.
Medical, yeah. sometimes. The MPHU and now the rental program, but we haven't had a rental program expedited yet because we haven't had one.
That's well, we have one.
It sounds like the vast majority have been administrative directives from Mr. Baker. Maybe Mr. Baker could explain to us the criteria he uses to ask for an expedited application.
From an administrative standpoint, I would say that there are very few other than what Mr. Lank just mentioned. Mainly they are by whether it's in the moderately priced housing unit program, or it's a private utility or public utility providing a service that needs to be there in advance of the development, or government or nonprofit. We've had a few nonprofits that have received it, but other than that, there are
That's right.
there are very few.
That's
why
that are, I say, gentlemen, if we approve this request for expediting. We are lowering our standards, and you've got now a new low that when you do it for this guy, you just can't tell the next guy no. You got to do it for all of them that maybe get turned down at planning and zoning. They go, hey, let's quick, we'll fall back in a fallback position. We'll get expedited. So you do this, you got more coming. So
we've had a couple that were applications that made it to council, and from the recommendation of the commission, the council suggested that they, if they would withdraw their application and reapply as a conditional use or something of that nature, then they would be expedited because it's something that was a cure-all. It wasn't a major
well,
project, wasn't a major complaint.
A film
we got one of those today, don't we?
A film society, yeah. But I have a... Nonprofit.
Nonprofit.
But I have a complaint from somebody who's, you know, right on a very busy road, and they just want to be one, and they and it's in the business district. They've been waiting for 2.5 years. I gave you the letter. You know, so we get complaints from people who haven't even had an opportunity to be heard for a very simple rezoning. So, I mean, why should they be pushed back?
Anyway, well, okay, we have a motion on the floor. I would suggest, though, that it's my thought that this applicant would not be withdrawing this unless they could get expedited. I think they would probably roll the dice and see if council would approve.
You know this much? Are you just speculating?
Mr. Cole, I don't see any reason why I can't.
I know, but you're just throwing this out.
I'm expressing an opinion, yes. I think you do that on a weekly basis.
Not like this. You're speaking for those guys that this is why they've done it? My God,
What have they gained by withdrawing it if we're not going to expedite it? That's all I'm asking.
They don't have to wait a year. They can come back and make the application.
What?
Are we working for them? What are we doing?
Pardon me?
Are you reading your mind?
I'm not reading, no. I'm saying if you get turned down at planning and zoning, then you come in front of county council and you get turned down, you're done for a year, Sam. This guy can go in, if we withdraw it now, he can go in immediately and file. He doesn't have to wait a year. Yes, it's to his advantage to do it now, not for this other cockamamie reason it advances. Conjecturing up here.
As long as the application is different, he can reapply.
But if you want to lower your standards.
If it's different.
Guys, you just heard what we've typically done it for. This doesn't fit the model. So go ahead and let's vote.
Let him wait in line with the other people.
Question. Mr. Vincent, please.
Did we not meet last month with planning and zoning, and they're going to start meeting an extra meeting a month?
Right.
Catch up some of this?
They will be.
They will be.
Then the conversation went that they would prefer not to do it in July or September.
No, I understand.
July
that,
or August.
Yeah, but they're going to
be meeting an additional time a month
right.
to help catch up some of this stuff.
And it won't take long. I don't really know.
And I think from what I'm hearing from some of your comments to the people that what we have in the backlog is going to be handled fairly quickly.
Could be. And we've also taken you get a subdivision that's for one lot or something of that nature, we're adding it to the agenda now. So rather than have five hearings, we're doing six.
Right. Should
be a pretty quick process. Probably.
And the fact that you're not getting overwhelmed now, I would think, with projects.
Not getting overwhelmed.
That the project numbers are way, way down.
Project numbers are way down. Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Change of zone, conditional uses, and subdivision.
Therefore, any new applications will then be heard much quicker. Much quicker. So if we expedite it, he's still going to get done quicker than all these previous people. So don't expedite, is my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver.
I'm sorry, would you restate the motion?
The motion is to accept the applicant's withdrawal, but to not expedite.
I would vote for that motion.
Well, wait a minute. It was only a request, gentlemen. It's only a request. That's what he made, a request to withdraw. In his letter, he said, and
I think it was made.
I'm making a motion to request the withdrawal to withdraw the application.
Well, we are on this first.
Just a minute. Let me restate the motion as I understand it. Now, Mr. Cole, if you want to withdraw the motion, you can do that. But you made clear, I believe, the minutes would reflect that you are going to move that we accept the withdrawal but not expedite the application.
I just said my motion was to accept the withdrawal, the request to withdraw the application for the change of zone. And I further stated that doesn't – the rest of this guy's letter, I wasn't applying any of those further requests that he had. It was just what's on the agenda, the request to withdraw, not anything else.
Okay.
So the motion would
not allow for any expedited review.
Right.
And Ms. Deaver, you agree with that
yes.
as far as your second
yes,
goes?
Yes.
And your vote, Ms. Deaver?
I would vote for that motion, yes.
Mr. Vincent?
No.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote no. Is there another motion?
I make a motion we accept what Lank's put up on me.
I believe I understand Mr. Wilson's motion to accept the withdrawal, but to allow for the applicant to refile with expedited review. Is that correct, Mr. Wilson?
Yes, sir.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second on the motion I just read. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
No.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote no. It didn't meet the standards that our staff had just told us why we give expedited reviews. No.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Keep lower the bar a little lower. Keep going down.
Represent the developers.
That's right.
I have one item of old business.
Just make it harder on people to get things. That's what you're
doing. Mr. Lank has the floor, please.
We are giving consideration to old business for change of zone number 1681, the application of Shipbuilders LLC. This is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a GR general residential district, or and a GR general residential district, excuse me, to a MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, for land lying west of Road 213, also known as Old State Road, and east of Road 641, also known as Sharon's Road, and also 118 feet south of Wild Cherry Street, to be located on 141 acres, or 141.086 acres, more or less. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on April 16th of 2009. By the commission deferred action for further consideration. On May 14th of 2009, the commission discussed the application under old business. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1681 for Shipbuilders LLC for a change of zoning from AR1 agriculture residential and GR general residential to MRRPC medium density residential plan community based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the property is currently zoned AR1 agriculture residential and GR general residential. Under this application, the zoning will be uniformly MR medium density residential, and the proposed density of 2.11 units per acre is significantly less than what the currently permitted under the GR zone. Two, the county engineering department has indicated that adequate wastewater capacity is available for the project. Central water will also be provided. Three, with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, the RPC designation is appropriate since it allows the creation of a superior environment through design ingenuity while protecting existing and future uses. It permits a design that duplicates the grid layout of the town of Ellendale while maintaining 40 acres that will be subject to a permanent conservation easement. It also incorporates moderately priced housing units, a program that promotes affordable housing, but without seeking any additional density. Four, the project will not adversely affect the neighborhood or surrounding community, and it is consistent with growth patterns of the adjacent town of Ellendale. And the applicant has indicated a willingness to continue seeking annexation into the town. Five, the proposed project will not adversely impact schools, public or community facilities, area roads, or public transportation. Six, according to the county's current comprehensive plan, the project is in a developing area. Seven, the applicant has favorably addressed the item set forth in section 99-9C of the subdivision code. Eight, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. The maximum number of lots or units shall not exceed 296. There shall be 224 single-family lots and 72 townhouses. A minimum of 15%, or 45, of the total number of units shall be moderately priced housing units. B, all entrances, intersections, interconnections, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed in accordance with DLDOT's requirements. C, a traffic calming device shall be installed for Joseph Court Road and shall be shown on the final site plan. D, the development shall be served as part of a Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District. The developer shall comply with all requirements and specifications of the County Engineering Department. E, the RPC shall be served by Central Water. F, stormwater management and erosion and sedimentation control facilities shall be constructed in accordance with all applicable state and county requirements. These facilities shall be operated in a manner that is consistent with best management practices. G, G, sidewalk, street lighting, and roadside trees shall be provided for the internal streets, and their location shall be shown on the final site plan. H, the park area shown on the preliminary site plan shall be created for the community and the town of Ellendale, with details provided as part of the final site plan. The final site plan shall also include at least 10 parking spaces for this park area. I, the developer, shall form a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of streets, roads, buffers, open spaces, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. J, there shall be active and passive recreational amenities provided. The active amenities shall include a centralized recreational area, including a tot lot, clubhouse, and swimming pool, open to use by residents by the issuance of the 72nd building permit. All the amenities shall be shown on the final site plan. K, the developer shall minimize tree removal. Conservation easement shall be created for the northerly and southerly upland forested areas, with these areas shown on the final site plan. L, upon the completion of development, all silt fences shall be removed from the site. M, a school bus stop and dark bus stop shall be provided. The location of the bus stop areas shall be shown on the final site plan. N, 20-foot-wide forested and landscape buffers shall be installed around the entire perimeter of the site. O, road naming and addressing shall be subject to review and approval by the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. P, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. Q, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan for all of the open space and buffer areas, showing all the landscaping and vegetation to be included in these areas. And R, the final site plan shall include a phasing plan and shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated, and that motion carried 5-0.
Any questions?
The council held a public hearing on this application May 5th of this year.
Mr. Lang, if I remember the hearing, the folks from Ellendale were interested in the annexation. And their approval was based on that.
It still is. It's noted in one of the findings. We can't make it a condition that they have to annex, but we have to make a recommendation that they continue working with the town to get annexation.
The developer,
and it's still their intent.
States a willingness to seek annexation.
That's true. We can't make a motion that forces them to annex.
But we would be allowing them to come in under our rules and our stipulations. And it's our project, and if it's never annexed, it never gets annexed.
It's true. Mm-hmm. But we can't stipulate that they have to annex.
Well, can we defer?
It's a matter between them and the town. And
why can't
it's still
we defer
matter.
Until that's taken care of? Protect the
we
town.
We can. Sure. It's up to council.
That's the wish of the town.
Any other comments from council?
I have a question.
Mr. Griffin?
If this should be passed, I would recommend that condition A have some wording added to the end of it.
Okay.
The wording that's where it says a minimum of 15% or 45% of the total number of units shall be moderately priced housing units.
Mm-hmm.
And the wording I would suggest to be added would be, and the applicant shall be required to execute an MPHU agreement prior to final site plan approval, because that agreement is what would require them to build a certain number of MPHU units in each phase. And when they start the zoning process, they get expedited review, but until they sign the MPHU agreement, they're not bound to develop them.
I see. You got that, Mr. Lang?
Not all of it, I got part of it.
And the applicant shall be required to execute an MPHU agreement prior to final site plan approval.
And what does that do? Does that guarantee that we will actually have those moderately priced units?
It schedules a certain number be built at different times so that they don't wait until the very end to put on
You
know what I mean?
Integrated right away.
And it says that they have to be same in appearance as the market rate units.
Okay. the agreement.
They can't stick them all in one place. They
okay.
have to spread them throughout the development.
Right.
So that wording would be, the additional would be, and the applicant shall be required to execute an MPHU agreement prior to final site plan approval.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin.
Is this saying to me that these homes are going to be about the same, but these people, somebody gets a special price on these homes? Is that what it's saying?
They are somewhat below the market rate, but they can't be different in appearance from the market rate units. And they do this because they get expedited review, they get some bonus density. There are some advantages to doing it for the developers to take advantage of this program.
And the developer has done this voluntarily.
In the public interest.
I guess they will if we force him.
It's not a forcing. They elect to do it.
Okay.
Voluntary.
But those restrictions to the MPHU units have to stay on for like 20 years.
And for his expedited review.
Yep.
Any other comments by council?
It was actually, their application was filed on November 17th of 08.
Okay.
So they were reviewed in about 6 months.
If not, would it be appropriate, Mr. Griffin, for you to read the title?
Sure. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district and a GR general residential district to an MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 141.08 acres, more or less.
I move we defer.
I have a motion on the floor. Is there a second? Motion dies for lack of a second. Is there a motion to approve?
I make a motion.
I've got a motion to approve the...
With the conditions, correct, Mr.
Are we
going to
amend that one first?
He already did.
I was going to include that in Mr. Do you want to vote on that?
Typically, you do the amendment, then adopt it with the amendment. But
okay.
Make a motion that we change letter A to new wording that Mr. Lank will read at this time,
yep.
And we'll vote on that change.
Number 8A will be, read, the maximum number of lots or units shall be not exceed 296. There shall be 224 single-family lots and 72 townhouses. A minimum of 15% or 45 of the total number of units shall be moderately priced housing units, and the applicant shall be required to execute an MPHU agreement prior to final site plan approval.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to change condition A as reflected by Mr. Lank's statement. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, I've got a question about this whole thing.
Ms. Deaver, we are talking about...
You asked if there was any discussion.
About this particular motion that's on the floor and seconded to change condition A to reflect the statement that our county attorney has recommended. No discussion. We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
No.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. I will entertain a motion to approve the application as read by Mr. Griffin with a change in condition A.
Make a motion. We adopt the ordinance as amended.
I have a motion and a second to approve the ordinance. Is there any discussion, Ms. Deaver?
Yes. I have some questions. If this is never annexed, then the transfer tax as homes get sold goes strictly to the county. And if it's annexed, then I have a question about the transfer tax as homes get sold. Where does that go?
To the town.
Goes
or
to the
half
town.
Half goes to the town and half goes to
half
the
to the town and half to the county.
No.
County's out of it.
I'm sorry. It goes half of it goes, then the transfer tax goes to the town and not the county.
Yes.
As homes get sold. And that's my concern, is that it never gets annexed. That's what I'm afraid it's going to happen. It's never gets annexed. And so I'm not going to vote for this.
Okay. Any other discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
No.
Could you state your reason?
Because in testimony, the town was here and only asked for this to be approved if it's annexed into the town And I do believe that it's grossly unfair to rush this without the town's approval, without the town's position. I mean, I think we're not respecting our town. And I had asked that we defer it. So since you've not, we're not deferring it, then I would have to vote no.
Thank you. Mr. Vincent.
Based on the conditions we've put on it and the recommendation of planning and zoning, and it does appear to be a well-thought-out and beneficial project to the area of Ellendale, I would hope they would annex in the town of Ellendale. We certainly can't force them to do that. I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes. It's got some moderately priced houses, and it's also got lower density than the GR, the original GR district had, so my vote will be yes.
I vote yes. Based on record and recommendation of planning and zoning, motion carries 4-1. Thank you, Mr. Link. Grant requests, Ms. Webb.
First one tonight, New Coverdale Outreach Mission.
Is there someone here from the New Coverdale Outreach Mission? Would you like to come up and share with us what your project's all about?
Yeah, where did the original money come from for this? The grant money? It has a continuation here.
Okay. Hello, my name is Reverend Diane Laughlin. How's everybody?
Yes, fine.
This is new to me. So bear with me. I'm before you. I have an assignment, I believe, you know, from the Lord to do a work for the underprivileged families. And we were working in a building that I used to live in, and it's an old building, moved from Bethel. The building, I raised my family in it, 5 children, and Lord bless us with a new home when I went to DuPont. And so we used the building to run the ministry out of it. And we're a real mission. We're not, you know, all churchy. We're a real mission. We're out. We're foot soldiers. We're out there. We do 150 families a month, or we feed 150 families. We have fed up to 300 families in 1 month, 2007. We offer the programs we offer is we do after school programs in our old building. We've done that. Education programs, GED, is in progress, but because we're moving to the new building, we had to cease that program because it's costly. So, and my teacher ran away too, so we need some more volunteers, which we do have in line now. The building can only hold so many people in the rooms because the rooms are so choppy and small because it was a house. So all the services we offer, we're spinning around on a dime, and we've been there for 9 years. Waiting for opportunity to get some more space so we can offer more services to the public. We do feeding programs more than one way. We do emergency food boxes every second Friday of every month, like clockwork, and then we do emergency food if welfare, social service, or any program have families out there need something right away. I stay strapped with a phone that I go right into the mission and make food for them at that time, at any time of the day, Monday through Friday. We had at one time when we started did some on-site feeding, but because of pride, people wouldn't come in day, they'd come at night, and it was such stragglers, I didn't bother with that program.
Let me just ask you a question. And the phase two is you're just going to do something to the building?
Phase two is we're trying to get out the old building to get into a bigger building. No, a whole brand new building. Okay. The building's already built. The building's paid for. We don't owe anybody for the building. The land's paid for. We don't owe anybody for the land. All we're asking is some assistance, monetary assistance, and the material.
Okay.
We've even been blessed to have workers that volunteer their time that we don't have to pay workers because we're working with the VOP, Sussex Correctional Institution, that they give us people to help build,
okay,
saving us money.
What kind of money do you think? Did you request a certain amount?
Yes. Do you have it?
Somebody does.
Because I didn't bring a copy. I was hoping somebody would give me a copy.
Letter of request.
Yes. I try to break it down.
Yes, she did a very nice job of all the detail of what, like wiring, plumbing. Is that what you're
yes,
speaking
yes,
of?
Yes, ma'am.
$103,000 to renovate the building, and then there's additional $20,000 for driveway and $12,000 for painting and labor as additional grant requests.
See, and just, I know it's a big number, she said, but you just cut that, take about half of that or less than half of that off. Take half of that or more than half of that off and labor.
Because of the prison help.
Right.
Right, I got you.
Right. I just need help with the materials.
Well, whose district is this?
This is Mr. Wilson's. You know, there are folks in probably more than just Mr. Wilson's district that is benefiting from this. I'd certainly like to give $500 to this call to help your fund drive myself. Are any other council members inclined to give?
If I had some in my account, I would.
Soon.
Also, West Rehoboth is
Sam,
asking.
How much is Sam going to
get? I don't know.
What's that? $1,000.
$1,000 for Mr. Wilson's, $1,500. Anyone else?
No. I'll give $500.
All right, I'll fill in $500.
Yeah. Okay. $2,500 will help a little bit.
That's a big blessing. Blessing.
Let's see if we can get 3 votes for it. Any discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes, and I'm very glad that you're here to explain how the good work you're doing.
And I do have my 501c3, you know.
Oh, yes.
I do have proof of that.
And Ms. Deaver's going to have $30,000 dropped in her lap next meeting, so you can come back and see her.
That's public money.
Mr. Vincent.
And we're going to see if she's really serious or not.
Yeah. I'll vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Thank you very much.
Good
have
luck.
Have a blessed day.
Good job.
Tall mountain to climb.
Delmarva Council.
And that is that's the Boy Scouts that cover the entire county?
Yes, Boy Scouts of America.
What do they call it? Delmarva?
They also cover
Maryland and Virginia.
It's the council, the overriding organization.
Does it go to Sussex County?
Yeah. Make a motion we give. Mrs. Deaver doesn't have $100, but I'll make a motion we give $100 each.
Is that about what we've done before?
Yes, you have.
Mm-hmm. Is that on IOU for?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we did it this time last year.
We could defer a week and get her money.
We're going to get it. Don't worry. Do I have a second for Mr. Cole's
motion?
Well, let's make it.
You'll get it if I give it to you.
We'll make it $125 each, and that'll make it to $500.
This is public money,
right?
That you're all playing games with.
Make a motion.
This is public money.
But we're giving it.
Joe, we're well aware of that. You keep bring up every. We don't forget that.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
You should.
I'll make the motion. We give $125 from the four of us. To the Delmarva.
Second motion.
To the Boy Scouts.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
That's right. And the Girl Scouts next.
We give the Girl Scouts also?
We do.
If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries.
Thank you. That's it.
Introduction of proposed zoning ordinances.
I don't have any.
Okay.
Could someone do me a favor and get the sign in?
Oh, I want to say
Baker, I'm sorry.
I want to say something
just a minute, Ms. Deaver. Thank you, Robin. We've got it. Robin slipped back and got it.
Got the list?
Yeah.
A couple of them.
I want to sign on that list.
Ms. Deaver has the floor.
I want to know who instructed our attorney to read the letter from Bridgeville.
Addressed
to counsel.
It was addressed to the counsel.
Who asked the attorney to read it in public session?
Well, I'll certainly take responsibility.
You did that?
I wasn't the one, but I'm glad it
who
was read.
Who did it?
I'll take responsibility for that.
So you did it?
A councilman came to me and said, I'd like to see this.
Who was that?
That councilman would like to step up. That's fine. But I then took the letter.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I answered that letter, and you all got a copy of the answer. And I think when I come back here.
I didn't write your answer to that.
I faxed the answer, and I emailed it, and I'm sure you were given a copy of that fax. And if you weren't given a copy of the facts, I will read it into the record next week. But that was a very nasty letter, and that was a nasty thing you did. That was an error by the newspaper. They were wrong in what they said.
They tell the paper what print.
Are you done, Ms. Deaver?
I'm done.
Okay. Miss Marie Rogers, my friend from Fenwick, come on up.